Oh, good morning, Drift Run Church. Good to be with everybody here this morning. Good to be back out in God's house. I am thankful for the opportunity to be here. You know, I went to graduation last night, and just a little bit, of course, it was like almost, I think it was like 380-some kids graduated, maybe close to 400 last night, but Josh was in that group. One thing the principal said, and you'll like this. I guess a guy by the name of C.F. Lewis said this. I didn't look this quote up, and I'm going to ruin this quote, so just bear with me, because... But anyway, he said something. He said, you don't see changes day by day. You see, if you go out 10 years, if you go out 20 years, 30 years, and look back, that's when you see the changes. And she was making the point about those kids' life. Right now, they don't, you know, they may not see the changes, but one day they'll look back and they'll see those changes, right? Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? I say this all the time, and I'm going to bring this to a spiritual application to everybody that's in here this morning. Listen to me. If you have not grown from what you were last year, 5 years, 10 years from now, you need to check out where you're at. Because there should be growth. There should be spiritual growth in your life. And in these increments that I see it, and I see it day by day in my life. If I grow, I see that. But you know what? I can see it more than what I was 10 years ago. I can see it more than what I was 20 years ago. And I praise God for that growth. I just praise Him here. Thank God for that growth this morning. Because I'll tell you what, if you get into God's Word, you will grow. I had a little bit of stuff taken off my face there the other day, Friday. I went to the doctor, had to have that done. I had some other things done just over the weekend, the graduation stuff. So I made a plan, Greg. I did this. I said, I'm going to have my sermon just ready because I didn't want to take, and you know how it is. God got a sense of humor, though. You know that? Because as I normally say, as I got up this morning around 4 or 5 o'clock, everything changed. Everything changed, and I had to, all the scripture that I had wrote down, all the scripture that went out the window, and so Tink put all this up here this morning. That's why she was late. She come and did that for me this morning, but I praise God for that this morning. It's what I've preached on before, but I want you to, this scripture I've preached on probably within here recently on this, maybe here, but I want to tell you something this morning. I believe this very important. This scripture that I'm going to read this morning for everybody in here. I want to cover a little bit of the basics this morning with Christian faith and with the Word of God. That's all I'm going to do with this morning, but I hope and pray that it sinks to the heart to where it should sink. If you would, turn to Hebrews, the second chapter. If you would, let's stand in honor of God's Word here this morning if you're able. I don't say this enough. If you're not able to stand, it does not mean you don't disrespect God. You know that? Now get this. If you're listening to God's Word driving down the road in the car, you ain't going to stand, are you? So this is just something, okay? Hebrews 2:1. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things for which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And again, you've heard me preach this scripture probably many a time, but just bear with me this morning. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given me the chance to stand behind this sacred desk here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would go with each and every heart. I pray, Father, for the anointing, first of all, Lord. I pray, Father, that hearts would be open and receptive to it here this morning. And, Lord, we will give you the praise for that. For you're the one that so rightly deserves it, Lord. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. And thank you. Thank you. Now, if I was to ask any of you here this morning what earnest meant, if I was to ask you that here this morning, what does earnest mean? You could probably tell me different things, what you think earnest meant. But what I've looked up, it means is this. It says showing sincere and intense conviction towards something. That's what, whatever he's saying, we ought to give the more earnest heed to. We should be showing a sincere and intense and an earnest sincere grip on what we're trying to learn here this morning. Amen? Listen, in the banking terms, now Stephanie not here this morning, but she could tell you this. If you put earnest money down on something, it means you intend to buy it. You, it means you intend to buy it. It means that you put it down, you got 30 days, and there's a chance if you don't hold up your end of the bargain, what's going to happen to that end of that money? You're going to lose that money. That's what it means by earnest money. We're supposed to show and demonstrate what our seriousness is about buying something. Amen? Even to the point that we are willing to lose what we put down on it. Even to that point. So what the writer of Hebrews was trying to say, pay attention to what you're being taught. Get a white-knuckle death grip on what you're taught. You understand that? There's stuff that me and you have heard since we have been kids and we've went to church. We've been raised on it. We've been brought up on it. And some of that stuff, brothers and sisters, we need to get a death white-knuckle grip on it and hang on to it, because I'm here to tell you, he's wanting us to learn and to learn from what he's trying to teach us. Do not let it slip from us. Do not. John 10:10 tells me this. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." How many of you in here know that the devil's business is to steal this morning? Does anybody know that in here this morning? That's the devil's business. He's to steal. He is in the business of taking from us. Absolutely. He is in that business. And as I look back on my 35 years plus of preaching, I can tell you, I have seen times in my life where he has stole stuff from me. I have seen times in my life where he has stole stuff from families that I've been pastored over. I have seen it. I have listened to it. I've heard it. I've watched it. I've counseled people. I know what I'm talking about. But from others also as well, he has stole stuff from them. And that is the devil's job to do that. I've seen him take families apart. I've seen him take futures from people. I've even seen him steal faith from people's lives. And he's in the business of stealing. That is what he does. And then as this morning text warns us, I'm warning you here this morning, get a grip on that truth. Because Satan is out to destroy, he's out to steal, he's out to do whatever he can do to anybody's family and to whatever you have in your life. He is out to do that this morning. Can I have an amen on that this morning? Because he is able to do that. I believe that. I believe that we live in the last days as Christians as well. I believe that. If we get distracted by many things sometimes that are in our life, we can have those distractions out there. We get that. The more earnest heed that we should give to the Word and to the work of God. Am I right on that? So we see that day approaching. It's being replaced by different things in our lives. I've seen that down through my years of preaching as well, and my years of pastoring a church. There are things that are replacing things in people's lives where it should be God. It should be the work of God. It should be the Word of God. And they've let everything else replace it in their lives. And I'm here to tell you, we need to get a grip on that this morning. We need to give the more earnest heed to that and understand the devil's trying to steal it. He's trying to kill. He's trying to take things away from us. And he does that by going after each and every one of us in our lives. It's being replaced by things are getting worse. We understand that. As Greg has said this morning, if we look around this world, things are getting worse in this nation, not only in this nation, but around the world. And listen, right has become wrong. We know that. It isn't nothing to stand up here and preach that. If I said, I'm preaching to the choir in that aspect of it today. If you cannot see where right is getting wrong and wrong is getting right, then you know what? You need to get yourself into the Word of God, or you need to get yourself saved, because you can understand in my situation that we can look after and we can see it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also that in the last days perilous time shall come." I say this all the time. If you're hoping for things to get better out here in this world, you're not reading the same Bible that I'm reading. Because it is not going to get better. Changing the president is not going to make it better. Changing who's in Congress or who's in the Senate is not going to make it better in the long run. The Bible said there may be stretches to where it may look like it's getting better, but ultimately, Jesus is coming back to get his church. Anyway, 2 Timothy 3:13 and 15 says this. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things, now get this, which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Get a death knuckle grip on this right now, okay? Understand this. The only hope and salvation that we have is through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. That's it. Understand that. It's not through me. It's not through anybody else in here. It's not through Donald Trump or Biden. It's not through anybody else like that. It is get a death knuckle grip on what the Bible says is going to happen. Right there, and get a death white knuckle grip on what it says there. We need to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's who we need to look to. Get it. Get on that truth right there. There's no way. We have learned that from the time we have been children. I've learned that from the time I got saved. Brother, that I need to put my hope and trust in Jesus Christ. Every church that I've ever went to, whether it be 14th Avenue or wherever else it's been, every one of those preachers said, you look to Jesus. That's who you look to. And I've learned that, and I'm going to preach that to you this morning. I'm going to preach that to you till the day that I die. Jesus Christ is the one. He is the only one. Things in this world are not going to get better. There's not going to happen. Listen to me. There's one hope. And the Bible says this. I'm not giving you a false hope, but I'm just telling you, this is it. This could happen. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins, and then I will heal their land. Now that's a hope right there. But the Bible teaches me over in Revelations, it doesn't happen right now, brothers and sisters. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in this nation. It doesn't happen over in Europe. It doesn't happen nowhere. They're not going to turn to God the way that it should be turned to God. They're just not going to do it. Just like it was in the days in Genesis. Listen, Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Then over in Matthew, what does Jesus say in Matthew 24:37-39? But as were the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There are people, I don't know, they're studying in churches today. There are people out here in the world today that have no idea what's coming and what's approaching them. They're living their day. They're living day by day by watching Fox News or CNN. They're living day by day by reading papers. That's how they're living their days. When they should be picking this thing up right here and reading it, that is where our hope and our truth come from. As it was in the days of Noah. How many of you know that Noah lived so many years after the flood? How many of you know that? As it was in the days of Noah. There's things that happened before the flood and there's things that happened after the flood. But brothers and sisters, wickedness abounded. The Bible also should, we all get a grip on that. Get a grip on that truth. Understand that truth this morning. Understand it. This isn't some kind of stuff that I'm way out there in left field. I'm just trying to get to you and show you the basics of what's going on. In 1 Corinthians 3:1-4, and the Bible says, and this goes right along with that. We shouldn't act like babies in our life. We should grow up on the word of God. We should get into it as much as we can. 1 Corinthians 3:1-4, and brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and with the meat from hitherto. Ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are not yet, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal, walk as man? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal? Brothers and sisters, there's people, and I don't hate to say this, they're not only on the milk, but they're on binkies too. They don't understand. I mean, they don't even understand the simple things of the Word of God. Hebrews 5:12. For from the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. How many years have some people been hearing the Scripture, yet they don't understand even the simple things? And you may be thinking, we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. You know what it is? What I believe it is? I believe that they hear these things, but they don't give an earnest heed. They don't really grab a hold of it and sink it down in the way that they should. They just don't. We ought to do something about the warning God is laying out for us. Oh, I guess I just don't understand. Let me give you some scripture. Let me give you something. Whenever somebody says that, if you're a Christian, you have the same Holy Spirit as anybody else in here. If you don't, you need to be saved. Without the Spirit, you're none of His. Amen or oh my. John 16:13 tells us this. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will do what? He'll guide you into all truths. You want to know more about the Bible? You don't have to come to Greg. You don't have to come to Ken. You don't have to come to me or any other teachers in here. You have that same Spirit of truth that is guiding you. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth of all men liberally and unbraideth not, and he shall be what? It shall be given to him. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's not Dave Longstand. Get a grip on that. Understand that truth. Because that truth is there for all of us. Listen, if there is ever a day whenever Scripture should be in our hearts and minds, would everybody agree with me? It should be today. This day in which we live in today. It should be today. The Bible's under attack. Oh, it's under attack. I mean, I can just see it. I see it whenever I go out into the world. I see it when I go to work. It's under attack. People don't have the reverence for the Bible that they once had. People don't have the reverence for church. They don't have the reverence for Christians that they once had. And may I say, brothers and sisters, sometimes we're the ones that are fault in that. Because sometimes we're not living the way that God wants us to live. Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets. What did it say? God spoke to his people. He did this many times and in various ways. Now listen to this. I want you to listen to this right here. Up until 1940, there wasn't another option other than the King James Version of the Bible. There wasn't. There was not another option up until that time. Now it seems like every year someone brings out another option of it. With men's commentaries and with men's vision of what it should look like, we're seeing a constant attack on the Bible. That's why. When you hear Romans 1:1 or Hebrews 1:1, what it's saying is, we have 39 other books we have already have around the God. Hebrews 1, for God, whenever you hear that right there, what it's talking about is, they had 39 books whenever the writer of the Hebrews said that. They had the Old Testament. That's what they had. The New Testament hadn't been made yet. And when they finally completed the entire book of 1611, King James Version, it may be old, but can I tell you here this morning? I stand on it here this morning. It may be old, but it is sound and it is rock solid. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you something else I can tell you about that. I've got more to say about that down the road. I'm doing a study on it right now. But I want to tell you something this morning. I believe we need to put our backing behind that. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Thank God for the infallible, thank God for the impeccable, thank God for the instructable Word of God, for the Bible, for the 1611 King James Version of the Bible. Thank God for it this morning. Get a grip on that. Don't let it slip from you. I've been doing a little bit of studying, like I said, on that. I'm going to give you some stuff here shortly, somewhere down the road, the Lord gives it to me to put out there, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Jesus is the end of all salvation, is the end all for salvation. Get a grip on that. There's none other. Hebrews 1:2 has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. John 14:6-7. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no more truth than that right there. I could stop right there and I could say that should be enough to save the world right there. You do not come to the Father only through Jesus Christ. It is not Buddhism, it's not Hinduism, it's not any other ism in the world. It is only through Jesus Christ that a man can be saved. That those people that have those signs on the back of their vehicles that say coexist, that is wrong. I'm here to get along with anybody, but I am not going to stand and say, listen, it is okay, every other religion is great. I'm not going to say that. Because you have to go through Jesus Christ to be born again. If I stand before anybody and tell them any different, I am lying to them. In this day of multiculturalism, you know what? You can pray in anything but Jesus Christ. Don't pray with Jesus. Don't do that. You can pray any other way, but don't do that. Our nation was not founded by Hinduism or Buddhism or any other thing. It wasn't founded by that. No, it was founded through Christianity. Absolutely, that's what it was founded through. Today, popular in you can pray to some deity, but just not Jesus Christ. Exodus 20:3-5. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Visiting the iniquities. Visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Let that sink in a little bit. In the world view, you see, we're all right if we pray in anything besides Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what, if I pray, I'm praying in Jesus' name. How about you this morning? Amen. Get a grip on that. That is the truth that we should have been taught that from the time we were running around with snotty noses. We should have been taught that. Psalms 2:1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why? Because the world is blind. 2 Corinthians 4:1-4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, but in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen, I've preached in a lot of different churches down through the years. And I can tell you this, there are people that have heard the word of God and they've walked out of there and it's never ever hit anywhere in their life because they are blinded. If you're here this morning, if you heard me, and you don't understand this, listen, it takes the Spirit of God to reveal spiritual things to you. It does. I can sit up here and try to teach it like I would a class. And if I try to teach it, yeah, you may understand the word, but you'll never truly understand the application of it. Unless the Spirit of God is there to open up your heart, to soften your heart, and let it get down into it. Get a grip on that. Get a grip on it. Do not let it slip from you. Do not. Take a hold of the truth that, brother said, listen, they're, like they said this morning, this world out here, we're not at war with them. We're in a spiritual battle, and it's not them that we're at war with. It is the devil and his minions that we are at war with. But brother, if you're here this morning, you do not understand spiritual things. Listen to me. You're in a world of hurt. Can I tell you that? We're going to get a song here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have to get it ready right now. And I want to tell you right now, if the Spirit of God has dealt with you this morning, and I've got to say this, if He is dealing with you this morning, and this altar is open, and He is knocking on your heart, come today.
Amen.
Don't wait one more minute. Come today. Come to this altar today. Turn your life over to Christ.
Amen.
Let him have full control of your life. That's the only way. The only way is to let Him have full control of your life. Listen, the Bible tells me if you confess your fault, if you confess your sins before Him, He is just. He's just. Amen? Just to forgive you of your sins. He will do that. I don't know, but nobody's heart here this morning. But I can tell you that. I want to open up here this morning to this song, the stand this morning. Get a grip on this morning. If you die, if you go out of this church, and you go out of this church lost and undone, and something happens to you, you pass away, you're headed for a devil's hell. You don't want to go there. You do not want to go there. All right. Let us sing. If you have a need, please come.